Welcome back. I think we have to play it. I think we have to play George Friedman's talk, or the beginning of it anyway, his talk, Brain Bar YouTube channel titled, Is There a Global War Coming? George Friedman at Brain Bar. And you can hear the echoes of the same machinations. You know, he begins the technology discussion with the targeting system that was developed by Norbert Wiener. He was instrumental in the developing of the targeting system. And of course, you know, you can't help but think about Anthony Sutton's work in exposing the fraud of the Cold War, the complete charade that helped advance all of this technology that really was ultimately designed to control people in precisely the fashion that folks like James Madison warned. And maybe the problem now is we can't see it because we're so deeply enmeshed and inextricably entrenched in it. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. But it's terrifying. And where it's headed, you know, again, when you hear Scott Klosowski say, and we played the clip in the last hour, when you hear him say, and that was 2 years ago already, we're moving from mobile to wearables to implantables. And over the course of the following year and 2 years, I've seen it. Have you? I've seen people moving from mobile to wearables. For what purpose? For what good purpose? For what reason? People say, you know, this measures my steps. We used to have the old clicky things that did that. You know, the analog devices. The batteries never die in those old clicky things. And you have to wonder, again, when the tech overlords don't let their children use these devices, or they, as you know, the images of Mark Zuckerberg with cameras covered by, you know, little swatches of paper and things on his devices. You have to wonder about that, don't you? Anyway, without further ado, here's a little bit of George Friedman talking about war and technology and the inextricable confluence. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Is a global war coming? Of course. There's never been a century that didn't have a global war. The 20th century you know about, 19th century is the Napoleonic Wars, 18th century was the Seven Years' War. We can go back and back and back and back. But if you don't think there's a global war coming, then you're saying that the 21st century is going to be the first century in which there isn't a global war. And I will bet against you any amount you want. In fact, global war, all war is sitting with you right now. It's sitting in your pocket. I present to you the iPhone. You've seen this. You carry such superb tools on it as YouTube and Tinder and all the essentials. And you guys are so cool that you know that this represents the future and makes you completely different because, well, you're cool. Let's talk about it. The foundation of this phone is a microchip. The microchip was developed to guide U.S. intercontinental ballistic missiles against Soviet targets. It had to have a small computer in it. It had to be very light. It had to be very accurate. And the microchip was the solution. And all of the weapons that we used during the Cold War to threaten the annihilation of humanity was built on the microchip. And you now use it today. Because it's cool. But that's what it is. Take a look at the other thing. You have a camera in your phone, the digital camera. That was developed by the U.S. National Reconnaissance Office for spy satellites. Problem we had was that if you took regular pictures with film, how do you get them to Earth? So you had to have a way to take pictures of targets of various sorts that didn't require you to drop a Kodak film pack down to the Earth, because that's what they did at the beginning. And they had to develop some sort of way to take pictures that could get back to Earth fast, just the way you send selfies to your mother or something. And that was the digital camera. It was driven by something called the CCD, which I remember the name once, but I can't remember what it's about. And what it did was it took digital pictures that could be beamed back to Earth to target people. Your innocent little camera had its birth in spy satellites. There's GPS. You love it. You walk around the street looking at it instead of the traffic. You get killed. It's a cool device. GPS was invented by the United States Air Force. It was called NavStar, to guide cruise missiles to their targets and to allow Army units precision in their land navigation. In other words, it was invented to let soldiers know where they were. Okay? And it's the most dangerous thing you have in your device, because if you don't get hit by a car, you're going to crash yours while you're staring at it. So it has a violent nature built in. Now, all of this is designed to get to the place where all humanity lives, which is the Internet. The Internet was developed by the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency to move classified data from one secret lab to the other. So something in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, labs there, we move to Los Alamos, and that would be moved to Brookhaven National Laboratories. What were they doing in these laboratories? Doing research on nuclear wars, because that was the big story then. It was developed with only one thing in mind: to make research more efficient. And when you get on the Internet, all the protocols you get and all the cool stuff that gets you around were developed by American scientists who were deeply involved in the Cold War. Now, you then have the cell phone, which most of you don't use anymore, because you irritate me by sending me text messages instead of picking up the phone. Okay. The cell phone was first deployed in 1985 by the United States Army, and was used for the first time in Operation Desert War, and it was entirely invented to facilitate military communication. Bottom line is, there is nothing in this phone, or if you're a religious fanatic in the Android, there was nothing in this that was not created for war. So you think about war as a distant thing. You think about war as something that doesn't really have to do with you. And then you pick up this phone, and every bit of it is drenched in war, in fear of war, and everything else. Now, the Americans are peculiar. In the United States government, they're not allowed to have patents. Basic rule is, if the U.S. government invented it, and it's not secret, it's yours for the taking. It's an odd rule, but it works for us. It means that everything we do in preparing for wars, designing aircraft, everything else, ultimately comes down to being available. So Steve Jobs, so cool, invented nothing. He took other people's inventions from the government, put them together, and the only thing he invented was marketing. And that was pretty cool. Bill Gates invented nothing. MS-DOS was a program he bought from someone that had originally been developed for the Air Force. Zuckerberg invented even less. Your whole generation lives in a fantasy of creativity. The basic tools that guide your life, that permeate you, were developed by warriors or scientists of warriors. It got to you, and a bunch of really smart marketing guys put them together and convinced you they were geniuses. The real geniuses made $50,000 a year and retired poor. The marketing guys, they made the money. The reason I'm starting with this is to make it clear to you how intimately your life is involved with war. Leon Trotsky, the famous communist that we all dislike, used to say, "You may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you." And what he meant by that was the fantasy that you can decide to avoid wars. Wars are among the most ubiquitous things in human life. Wars are constant. They're going on now. They will go on for a long time. People don't like wars. It doesn't matter what you like. And one of the most important things this generation must grasp is that history doesn't give a damn what you like or don't like.
That's frighteningly provocative from old school bad guy George Friedman. You know, and listen how glib he sounds. It's just, it's gross. It's grotesque. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Do we understand now? You listen to that. I began the first hour of today's broadcast saying, if you haven't seen The Minds of Men by Aaron and Melissa Dykes over at True Stream Media, you need to get a copy. You need to watch it. Almost 4 hours runtime. It's a must watch. What is the science of government? The Minds of Men is a 3+ year investigation into the experimentation, art, and practice of social engineering and mind control during the Cold War, a mind-bending journey into the past that gives startling insight into the world we are living in today. And I guarantee you there is a wealth of information you are not aware of, even if you've done a great deal of research on this topic. And you know, humorously, somewhat sardonically, they conclude the description with, "It reveals redacted." So, you know, it sort of centers around, at least toward the end, from the middle to the end, you know, what some, including myself, might describe as the cybernetic totalist concept. Cybernetics, being the steering and guiding of all thought, behavior, action, the helmsman, through primarily an infinite feedback loop. And that's what all of these receptors isn't it, transmitters isn't it, but connection points, if you will. Some folks remember years ago, about 12 years ago, I want to say, 12 to 14, around 12 years ago, DARPA had, before they did a major rework of their site, and I think they do that every, I don't know, so often. I don't know exactly what the time frame is on that, if there is some particular impetus behind that. But when they had that old flash-based stuff, there was a video that they had. You can still find it on YouTube. And people have – when I mention it, somebody sends me a link to it on YouTube. But they had that video. It was a flash-based – video. It looked like a depiction of a New York skyline, a bombed out New York skyline with all of these data connection points, satellites beaming to and from airplanes, beaming to and from helicopters, beaming to and from boots on the ground. And hey, this is the world we're going to be living in. And now, fast forward just a little bit, and that's kind of what we see. You know, you have guys like Eric Schmidt who have told us in recent years, yeah, that's what we're going to do. You know, Michio Kaku says it's going to be great. The internet will disappear into your walls. You'll be talking to your wallpaper. It's going to be so fun. We have all of these transmitters and receptors everywhere and everything, and it will become invisible if it hasn't already. And so, again, you can't help when someone says invisible, you can't help but be reminded or recall Scott Klosowski and his matter-of-fact, emphatic statement that we played in the first hour again from 2 years ago. You know, we're going to move from mobile to wearables to implantables. And again, the concern is just like things like, you know, AM and FM radio, you can see digital eclipsing that. You can see mobile causing the desertion and the obsolescence of landline phones, for example, and that should never happen. But at some point, everyone else but the professional world probably maintain that technology for some time, but you know, on an individual level, it's becoming almost obsolete. Homes with landlines are becoming fewer and fewer. So in the same sense, mobile will be eclipsed by this wearable and implantable stuff. There was a push to do that some years back, to push toward wearables, and people just weren't ready for it. But this younger generation, do you ever wonder, speaking of all of this, do you ever wonder why we have the last few generations referred to as Generation X, Y, and Z? Z is the last letter of the English alphabet. Why is that? What comes next? We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. You know, you start thinking about this stuff, and again, you know, George Friedman's talk, the cybernetic connection that ties all of the technology together these days for the total control and manipulation of people, and the war, you know, again, the quote by Arnold J. Toynbee, that Aaron and Melissa Dykes quote from The Minds of Men: "We are, I believe, involved and present at what I can only call a third world war. Man's struggle to save his personality from destruction by technology is something more than a substitute for war. It is a form of war itself." You can, you know, you put that together with George Friedman's remarks and all of the other evidence all around us, and you start to get a sense of why there is homage, whether esoteric or exoteric, to the war deities in everything around us, particularly technology. In tech circles, they're notorious for homages to war deities like Horus and Mars, Minerva, Athena, Eris, Kratos, Nike, Shiva, Krishna, Ishtar, Murugan, Thor, all of these war deities. Why is that? You know, you think of the CERN nonsense, for example. Why would you have a Hindu deity statue depicted out in front of your, oh, you know, that's just because it's always, the explanations are always dismissive and they don't quite make sense, do they? Unless you view it in the proper context. And that reminds me of another quote by Carr. I mentioned one of Toynbee's contemporaries, Carr, E.H. Carr, and there was a quote by him similar, you know, we should just call things by their right name, I think is how he said it. And so we should do that. Anyway, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Fred in Michigan. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey there, brother.
Hey, Fred.
Rare earth soul man, spirit brother, okay? When I hear you in your eloquent, scholarly, passionate, righteous intel presentations, I reflect on Tex Mars and his scholarly accomplishments, such as Holy Serpent of the Jews, which was banned by the satanic Talmudist Kabbalist Jeff Bezos of Amazon. And so when I think of all this AI and I reflect on the likes of presently Elon Musk, who is documented by TrueStream Media in one of their presentations, Elon declares that we ultimately must reconcile ourselves to the fact that we must hack our central nervous system in order to sustain our future. We must acclimate to that reality of hacking our central nervous system.
Yeah, well, acquiesce and acclimate, right?
Well, my model is adapt, improvise, combat to overcome. Because these entities respect.
We still have Fred?
Yeah,
I'm
not
sure what happened. Okay. These entities respect, and then we lost you for a second there. At least I didn't hear you, so.
Okay, yeah. Force, and in our case, righteous, passionate, righteous force. Because you see, ethnic cleansing by deception, whether it's economic warfare, pharmacologic, or as they say, I coined this phrase back when I saw Robert Mendelson, M.D., on Phil Donahue's TV broadcast back in the mid-80s. Pharmaceuticidal, hemicide, medicide practices, okay? So
yeah,
the very same entities, Chris, are attacking us from all angles.
Absolutely, and we're headed into a break. Let's continue that on the other side. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months, and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back. We're on the phones. We have Fred in Michigan on the line. And force, I agree, Fred. And like I said last week, you know, the concept that comes to mind, people don't realize that, you know, even though it's usually a message that is, you know, I would say sort of translated through well-heeled, silver-tongued, Ivy League voices and channels, these people are even more ruthless and cunning than, you know, the example I gave was William Bill the Butcher Cutting, Daniel Day-Lewis's character from Gangs of New York. They are like that. And I think you get a picture of that when you look at, you know, again, the Reese Committee telling us by 1954, 6,000 to 7,000 tax-exempt organizations were used to rewrite history and do all kinds of other nefarious things. Again, Aaron and Melissa Dyke's most recent documentary, The Minds of Men, includes references to organizations that were financed largely by the same nefarious interests. And by 1954, a total endowment of $7.5 billion and $675 million in annual revenue already at that time. And that was when, I mean, in the early 60s, years after I think $12,000 a year was the annual income. Actually, no, that's not right. A house could be purchased for $12,000. And automobiles were, you know, a few thousand dollars. And so we're talking $6.5 billion in total endowment. And the point is, you know, that was, you would think, okay, that's enough. We have a lock on control, but they didn't stop there. You have the Federal Reserve and the monopoly on a debt-based currency that creates perpetual debt enslavement, and all of these other ruthless and tyrannical efforts, all the while lying to people, never being honest about it. Obviously, you wouldn't. Who would do that? And so it's mind-boggling. And you know, the onslaught, again, what you said really reminds me of the documentary The Minds of Men, the way that we've been attacked. And I think specifically of their interview of Dr. Peter Breggin, and how he said, you know, back when he started blowing the whistle on all of this nonsense, he was a lone voice in the wilderness saying, does anyone else see the horror of psycho surgery, for example, and sticking wires in people's brains and burning parts of their brains out? Are people not horrified by this? And you have the CIA and all these nefarious interests behind the scenes, steering, guiding, orchestrating, funding this so-called research. And, you know, again, I mean, not to get off track, but you go back in history and we see, you know, Operation Paperclip, the importation of Nazi scientists, giving them immunity. And then back from there, you know, the technology was exported from here or it was re-imported. And then you have examples like Unit 731 in Japan, which is horrifying. And again, the same interests are always around these efforts. So you can't overstate the point that you made about how we're attacked from all sides.
Chris, George Friedman, in that presentation, tweaked my memory about a book by Samuel Roth of 1934, Jews Must Live. Our major vice of old, as of today, is parasitism. We are a people of vultures, living on the labor, good nature of the rest of the world. Despite our faults, we would never have done so much damage to the world if it had not been for our genius or evil leadership, granted our parasitism. So evil leadership, to me, translates into deception, manipulation, for the purpose of exploitation, for their benefit, of course, and our ultimate interminable enslavement. However, as Deuteronomy 30:19 states, and Chris, this was a siren wake-up call. I was raised Roman Catholic. I never touched the Bible. It was an esoteric resource that was never, ever tapped into, period. And on Sundays, it was a missalette, you know, a very consolidated Reader's Digest version that, you know, some bishop somewhere compiled for that particular month. So in the Lord's Prayer at the very end, it says, deliver us from evil, not the evil one. It says, deliver us from evil. Now, JFK, in his secret society speech, where he identifies a global monolithic conspiracy with secret, which happens to be blood oaths, well, that all emanates from Ha-Satan, Satan, Lucifer. And the very fact that the Vatican deliberately extracts Evil One from the official Lord's Prayer of their denomination, I think speaks volumes. Okay, the Evil One, we have the power through Yahushua Isho, I say, Yahushua, there's a guy, Chris, sometimes you can check him out. YouTube channel MIKAL, Michael Shabbat, 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 Michael Shabbat Scriptural Ministries. Why does the world fear the name of Yahushua, etc.? Some astonishing. I now am convinced that the real true name of the Father is Yahushua and the Son, Yahishua. There's a fella who's Aramaic on YouTube, Vic Alexander, Messiah's Aramaic name. I hope you'll check that out sometime. And I would hope that on Mondays, when you start off your week, that you would repeat JFK's secrecy speech and precede that with Aaron Copland's theme for the common man. Theme for the common man, Aaron Copland, a fellow that had a brief stint with RBN, Robert Rowan. When I suggested that to him, he had a Sunday broadcast for an hour or two. He started using that as his theme music. Aaron Copland, theme for the common man, and then segue into JFK's secrecy speech, because that's what we're living in, man. It, the Jewish utopia. Lark was the guy from whom I learned about this. Rabbi Michael Higger, back in 32, 34, he and his enclave of Shabbat Lubavitch rabbis in Texas got together, and they decided to compile, their Talmudic doctrinal principles about their New World Order exploits into this thing called the Jewish Utopia. And when I checked with my librarians here locally, three of the four who are Jewish told me, well, I can't find it anywhere, no way to get it. But I got a Goya, I got a Goy Gentile guy, a young guy, a white guy, and he says, it took him 2 minutes to locate it at Michigan State University, right here in Michigan. But the other three Jewish people, librarians, said, oh, no, can't get it. But the Goy Gentile guy says, in 2 minutes, yeah, here it is, Michigan State. Let me know when you want it. The Jewish Utopia, Rabbi Michael Higger, 1932. So there's a most insidious conspiracy at all levels. And yeah, language is a technology. Currency, fake money is a technology. But we're going to have to figure out how to utilize it to combat. We have to adapt. We have to improvise. We have to use their own crafty principles and MOs to implement a righteous counterinsurgency doctrine, what I call liberatingly empowering intel, such as what you provide on a daily basis, such as what Tex Mars has authored, not only in Holy Serpent of the Jews, which was banned. Everybody ought to have that. It's a banned book. How about DNA science that proves the so-called Israelites of Israel have no more DNA to the biblical Israelites than my Weimaraner canine soulmate companion Sammy ever had. Okay? And yet, as Brendan O'Connell has documented exemplarily, here taxpayer money, like Friedman pointed out, whether it was Jobs, Wozniak, or this guy Elon Musk, they're all exploiters, man. They're parasites. They're either being directly funded or they're tapping into through their tribal brethren all these amazing discoveries and development. So somebody brought up the Binational Industrial Research and Development Foundation. Ah, foundations. How about Rene Wurmser? Foundations, their power and influence. Well, in the case of that one, all of our most advanced high-tech military hardware and software is being hijacked out of this country through Operation Talpiot and then being sold off to entities such as Talmudic, Kabbalah, Zohar, Communist China, and Russia. They're all in they're all of the same tribe. And all these the Times of Israel, Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, Brendan O'Connell in the presentation, what was it, 17 July, I believe it was, over there at, what's it called, AmericanAwakening.org. It's called The Chinese Communists Have Taken Over America. Okay, well, he provides, there's like a continuum of about 500 articles from prominent resources such as those in Israel and other places in Europe and even in this country.
Yeah, and I would respectfully say that is a sort of misleading point. I mean, I understand the point, and for those that understand the nuances, you get it. But for most, they need to understand that it's the same nefarious influence from behind the scenes. James Corbett has done some great work in pointing that out in recent months and years. So I would kind of temper that with some of the stuff that James Corbett has done along those lines. And as far as using their own crafty tools and MOs, I would respectfully completely disagree. I don't think that being conscripted to evil is the answer. And I think we need to hold the line, the ethical line, which is difficult because, you know, in a society where there are no rules, you know, in a society of lawlessness and licentiousness, what is the bridle? What is the restraint for anyone's behavior?
Well, Chris, what I meant by that, and I didn't explain, okay, they manufactured a fraudulent bankruptcy on the 9th of March, the Emergency Banking Act. And that Emergency Banking Act declaration has been renewed, I'm sure, whatever, annually, biannually, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay?
We're going to have to continue later. We've gone on for a while, and we got other calls, so hopefully right. We can continue later. I apologize, Fred, but, you know, we only have so much time, unfortunately. As they say, you have more to say, but we only have so much time, so... you know, it's the way it goes, unfortunately. Back to the phones, Glenn in Philly. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris. Hi.
Hey, Glenn.
Man, I really wish you had shut him down earlier. He was bloviating all over the place. And it's Weimer Reiner. The guy doesn't even know if he doesn't know what kind of dog he has. How much?
I don't think we need to take shots at each other, man. Same team. Same team.
It's not even I disagree with what he has to say. He's like all jacked up and all over the place.
Again, same team. I don't think but shots at each other is productive, especially in limited time we have. So I understand your point and your lament for sure.
But you know, anyway, I was going to say as the moderator, and somebody gets in moderate. kind of wish you'd moderate them. All right. Pedometer, cookie thing. Pedometer, cell phone game, Pokemon Go. Okay. Landlines. Many moons ago, I had worked for the phone company as a certified installation and repair technician and, you know, had a strong affinity for the good old landline telephone numbers. There's still a lot of landline phones, and they even put them on the routers of the cable modems, and they you get a triple play package, you know, of the Fios and the cable companies, you know, most people are using cordless phones in the house. It's hard to find a hardwired phone, but there are still plenty of hard landlines and people using cordless phones.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always wanted to keep, a number of years ago, it was like 20-some bucks a month, 23 bucks a month for a landline. And I always, even though I wasn't using it much, I kept it as insurance, having been through some storms with power outages and stuff. A lot of times power goes out, the phones still work because it's powered on batteries. I wanted a twisted copper pair all the way back to the frame at the central office, and it was powered by, you know, batteries, and, you know, I find they jacked it up over 40 bucks a month. I said, well, I'm not paying 40 bucks a month for an insurance policy, so I eventually gave up my landline. So, you know, that's interesting. From earlier in the program, you were talking about the subjectivity you know, of historical interpretation. And then you had also talked about the necessity of permission for the bad guys, the old school bad guys, to do stuff. But on the history thing, I always feel compelled, and subjectivity, some people try to highlight subjectivity by saying history means his story, which it most certainly does not. The etymology of the word, of course, goes back to huster, the Greek word huster, which means uterus. And the uterus, being the womb, bespeaks of life, the origin of things. So history, uterus, origins. That's the etymological connection for the word history. And then one last thing about the this notion of permission, having them, you know, like the vampire, you have to let the vampire in or something like that. It reminds me of, I believe it's the Bourne Supremacy, where Bourne goes back to the room at the offices where he was recruited, and the gravelly voiced fat old psychiatrist, you know, when Bourne says, you know, asks him about, you know, what, you know, how he, you know, who prompted them, you know, who got him into this. And he says, well, you did. You volunteered.
Right.
You know, you don't remember. Then he takes him in the room and shows him how he volunteered. But he was, like, you know, lured in and told that he would be saving American lives. And he was ultra-patriotic. He was an army captain. And he submitted to it. And then they from there on in, they presumed to totally rewire his brain and make an assassin out of him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and this is pretty much the way, much what they do to entire cultures when they dehumanize and vilify the enemy and get us all to go along with the war, and we go over and kill those gooks, slants, towelheads, camel jockeys, mixed, you know, whatever we call them to dehumanize the intended target, and we, like Bourne, go along and mobilize the entire economy and the huge military machine and kill off people by the millions.
Yeah, and all sides are playing their role on the grand stage, and everyone is played off against each other. I mean, just consider the most recent, you know, I try to focus, because of the post 9/11 era we live in, I try to focus on Operation Cyclone, the creation of the Afghan Mujahideen, which became the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, et cetera, and how the Soviet-Afghan conflict was manufactured as admitted by Zbigniew Brzezinski. And you fast forward now, I mean, we still have all kinds of evidence that's coming out year after year about how the conflict is still manufactured. The textbooks and the ideology that's pumped out of Saudi Arabia to infect neighboring countries and typically the impoverished and conscript certain folks in precisely the fashion that you just mentioned to that ideological bent. And then the same sort of fashion over here, we hear what we hear, and these people, if they actually sat down and met each other, that end up getting played off against each other, would probably find they have more in common than not in a variety of ways.
That famous Christmas story, I think, of World War One, where the troops stood down and shared beverages and chocolate bars and stuff like that or something, and then everybody went back to the respective sides or something like that, somewhere along the line.
Exactly. It was World War One, and right. Yeah, absolutely. It, you know, troops in the trenches, and then suddenly they realize, you know, what are we fighting for? And about.
Right. And so, like, the you know, the evil is ubiquitous and pervasive and deep. And I'll end on this point. The one scripture that I find, the concept that I find, aside from the overall concept that God is just and merciful and transcendent of time and space, so ultimately nothing's going to happen that's outside his purview, is when Joseph is elevated to prominence in Egypt and his brothers come down during the time of famine for supplies, and he, you know, they end up coming before him, and they're begging him to spare their lives because they've been framed for stealing something, which they didn't really do. And they're begging him to have mercy on them. And he says, you know, and they admit how wrong they were for selling him into slavery, you know, and as a child. And he says to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Exactly.
You know, so even all, notwithstanding all the evil plans of men and devils, you know, cannot subvert, you know, the justice and mercy of God. because they mean it for evil, but he means it for good.
Well said. Excellent point, and I couldn't agree more, and that sort of underscores what I was trying to say about how we are led to believe that, you know, the only way to fight fires with fire, and that's part of the plan. I mean, that's part of the whole – you read Pike's allegedly spurious letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871, and that's the ultimate MO to draw everyone in, and, you know, the destroyers of civilization being destroyed. And I disagree. You know, you have intellectuals echoing that mantra, and I think of the biblical tenet that traditions and teachings of men is tantamount to doctrines of demons. Even Jesus indicated that. Anyway.
Yeah, he was in reference to rabbinical commentary there, by the way, which we call the Talmud. But
evil. Speaking of that, you can't overlook the, you know, Talmudic, Zohar, Kabbalistic, Sabbatean, Frankist influence everywhere, the creeping darkness, as I would call it. Anyway, because of the intrigue.
By evil, but overcome evil with good. You don't fight fire with fire. You fight fire with water, and just kind of picture like a Holy Spirit, waters of the Holy Spirit, fire hunters type thing. So, all right, Chris, got to go. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it. Yeah, great point. Couldn't have said it better. I wish I could find that quote, you know. Who said it? I'll have to find that. And I'm not sure it was Carr. It might have been Toynbee, actually. I don't think so, though. Toynbee was disingenuous in his efforts. But, so was Carr, for that matter. But the first step in history is calling things by their right names. It's something like that. So I'll have to find that. Anyway, again, you know, the bookend of the broadcast, first hour and second hour, The Minds of Men by Aaron and Melissa Dykes. If you don't have a copy yet, you should get it and share it far and wide, because people need to understand the plot that has been fomented against them, everyone. And if you have technology anywhere in your purview, then, you know, you are being victimized by this plot to some degree. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.